Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics, from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
Elon Musk, back in the news, as he is every day. In an effort to slow down the growth of Threads from Meta, Elon Musk announces the startup of XAI, and Twitter decided to share revenue with creators. So Threads growth has slowed down. It's been reported that they had a 20% decline in user from users actually using the platform from last week. I believe it was last week, Thursday, from Wednesday of last week, something like that. Some day last week, they had a decline in users. Threads has also reached 100 million user mark faster than any other social media app ever in history. On the heels of that, they announced, Twitter announced that they will start sharing revenue with creators. They had somebody said that they made $79,000, something like that, from Twitter. And then he also announces XAI, which is more of a ChatGPT competitor. I think all these companies are going to start coming out with ChatGPT competitors. So let's talk about this Twitter thing first, because it's interesting. I think that it's obviously a reply to you know, kind of kill the buzz and kill the noise with Threads. And what better way to pay people? That'll get them back on your side. They're making money. They're not making money on Meta. They're not making money on, well, Meta did roll out the subscriptions. I don't know if anybody's making money on that yet, but they're not making money on Threads. So now you're saying, okay, social media platforms, how they make their money is through advertisement, data, different things in Asia. So it's like, all right, if advertisers are going to pay us and we're making billions of dollars from this, then we're going to give a portion to the people that actually make it possible. What should have happened from the beginning? Because that's just common sense.
Yes.
If you're using a platform and the platform is making money, then it would be in the interest of the platform to actually incentivize the users. The problem is that they never had to do that because there was no competition in the space. When nobody does it, then you don't really have too many alternatives. Shout out to Fanbase. I believe that they actually have commissions in place, and Isaac Hayes will be at Invest Fest also to talk about it. But this wasn't done by any of the major huge platforms. So Twitter now jumping in this and saying that they're going to pay people, I think, is long overdue, first and foremost. And it still probably wouldn't be anywhere what they actually should be getting paid. But it will be interesting to see if they actually do go full throttle on this and it becomes a regular thing and people start to make money from it. How does that change the landscape for all of the other social media apps? Whether it's TikTok, whether it's Snapchat, whether it's, you know, Meta, and they've all teetered with the idea of paying creators, and they will all kind of have some level of compensation but nobody has ever really tremendously, you know, made off on these platforms financially. It's usually just, you know, use it to promote different things and then make money on the back end. So now if you can start to have people that's actually making millions of dollars a year just from Instagram, that will be an interesting change in the business model of social media platforms going forward. So, yeah, what's your thoughts on this?
I think it's a good idea, but I don't like the time frame in which it was done. I think it was incredibly reactive. Like, I know he had talked about XAI. For those you don't know, Elon was one of the people who initially provided funding to OpenAI. He got pushed out. I understand his frustration there. So great, make a company. But I think as a result of Mark Zuckerberg being in the gym and beating a company down, he then says, okay, now we're going to pay our users on Twitter and now I'm going to launch this company. To me, it's too reactive because it feels like, well, you should have been paying us before, but then you were robbing us by not doing so. So like all of a sudden, it's kind of like when a guy messes up and then he goes out of his way to like do the right thing now. Sometimes it's just cheaper to keep her like this kid. But as a result, I think if Twitter would have paid early on, sometimes you just have to give the irresistible offer up front, opposed to waiting to there being competition. Because if you make something irresistible from the very beginning, there is no competition. I think if people would have been making 100 grand, 200 grand off of the platform already, there wouldn't have been room for Threads.
Yeah.
So
you're right.
So I hate any CEO that, like, it kind of reminds me of the BlackBerry situation when iPhone came and took all the market share from them, and then they tried to make a touch screen 2 years later to compete against the iPhone. That's too late. You should have innovated ahead of the competition. And this is why I always say, like, everyone's your competition. I don't know if you guys have seen. Now, Ritz-Carlton is now kind of getting into the cruise line business, but they're doing, like, super luxury yachts. So for those who don't want to go to Royal Caribbean, you can now go to Ritz-Carlton and be on, like, a super luxury experience. I keep saying, if The Rock, Jason Momoa, and Cardi get together and do an investing show, I don't know what my reply is going to be. You have to think of that before she knocks on your door and throws off your day how she did Offset when she went and creeped off. Allegedly, right? Because I don't want the Tyson K beef. Please, Cardi, I love you. I know it's part of the rollout. But if she comes up and then teaches options and how to invest, what are you going to do? You have to think of how disaster can show up at your doorstep before it gets there. And I don't like reactive Elon. Normally, Elon is a person that applies the pressure. He's been back into a corner. And I see he don't want that smoke in that ring with Zuckerberg either.
Yeah, this was that baby come back. Like, right, you watch somebody, you watch a platform go 100 million, you see the press that is getting, you know, you have a product that's not competing with it. How can we get people back? Well, let's try to pay them. And it's interesting because they're using the CPM model, which, if you're a content creator in YouTube, you're very familiar with. If you're in a podcast space, you're very familiar with. It's the cost per million or cost per thousand. But even it's crazy because when I saw what they were trying to pay, it made me think of Jay. And shout out to Jay, the Book of Hove in the Brooklyn Museum. Incredible. That's sidebar. Normal. But it was that, yo, they pay you a fraction of what you're supposed to get. And so the way that Twitter's looking at it is they're going to pay you per impressions. And so I think the equivalent is like every a million, or not even. Yeah, for every million, you're getting like less than a tenth of a cent, right? So if you did like you get like $8.52 per million impressions.
What?
So $8.52 per a million impressions. So even the some of the tweets that they were putting out with people who received money, I looked at it. It was like he had 840 million impressions in the month of February through July, right? So we're talking about almost 6 months, 840 million impressions, and the check was for 22,000. So that cost per million, it's like, we know that model because in this space, we've seen it. They're giving you a fraction. So like you said, if they're giving that to you now for over a five-month period, what are they making from these advertisers on a monthly, on a weekly, on a semi-annual basis?
Well, it's the music business. This is the whole thing of, can I get a close-up for this, Mike?
Let me just say this last thing, and I'm going to lock you in. I'm going to lock you in.
Then I got to follow up after that.
Yeah. The other part is, and we had this in our chat, it was like, well, what do you think the response is going to be from these other platforms? And I was like, yo, it's the same strategy. Let them go out ahead. Let them make the mistakes. Yep. Let them make flaws. And let us come in and figure out how to improve and enhance it and make it better. It's the same strategy now. Like when you jump out and you say, all right, we're going to pay people, there's going to be some setbacks. All right, well, what happens now when Thread says we're going to pay him double what you said that you want? Now you're
like
really back
with reels.
Now what you going to do?
Yeah,
for sure. So, you know, it's crazy because we always look at the music industry as like, oh, these artists, they signed their rights away, they gave away their masters, or, you know, these different executives, they took advantage of these artists. And I would never do that if I was in a position, like if I had an opportunity, I would never do that. I would always control my masters. You signed your masters away for free. If you're on social media, you agreed to let them use your content, repurpose your content, however they feel free. You agreed to promote their platform. You agreed to put content. You're actually making content for them, which they're selling ads against, and you're not getting paid anything. And you've never questioned it one time. So it's like anything that's free, you're the product. So that's like an artist going into the studio for 10 hours a day and making an album every single week and never receiving one royalty. Because that's what we're doing. You think you're just making a post, you're making content that they're selling ads against. If there's no platform and nobody's making content, then there's no revenue model for them to make money from. Never thought about it like that. Like, you're literally working for them. and you've never gotten paid for it. And you don't own your content. You gave the rights away as soon as you signed up for it. And you want to complain about Diddy. You know what I'm saying? You want to complain about Diddy. Shout out to Diddy, man. Y'all got 360 deals for free. And
on IG.
Okay with that every single day, you're okay with that. And I've never heard one person complain.
Yeah.
Think about it. So it's like now, you know, they tricked you to think that this is all fun and games, or they do it like, you know, you call you a content creator or an influencer or just a regular person. You got 300 followers, 500 followers. It doesn't matter. You're still making content. You are the product. They are the business. You're working for them for free. You don't have any control of what they do. You can't control who you reach. You don't control your content, and you're not getting paid.
Take it.
And then think about it. After they take your content and package it up, they make you pay for your content to get more exposure.
Yeah. Like I said, you can't even decide who you reach. Like, it's not even up to you to say, okay, at least I can touch, you know, this person in middle America, or I want to go to Alaska. So I want to know. They're going to tell you through an algorithm, this is who you should be reaching, and this is the amount of people that should be seeing your post, and there's nothing you can do about it. And just shut up, be happy with it, and go on your merry way.
Keep creating.
Keep creating. Yo, put you back in the booth. They put you back in the booth.
Maybe you will get paid. Like, I'll say this with parts. If Spotify does this, Netflix isn't paying out, the writers are under strike. If any other person did this, this would be called a Ponzi scheme. Like, at some point, we need to say all streaming companies are illicit in a Ponzi-like activity, but if you agree to the terms and conditions, you are allowing yourself to be finessed.
Yeah.
10 times.
It's cool when they do it. It's cool
when they do it.
It's cool when they do it. But yeah, I think that's just, you know.
Important message.
Nobody thinks about it.
Like, that's an important message.
It's easy to criticize. Everybody on social media is an expert. That's what I realized. Put a post up.
That's a fact.
About Mike Rashid. Mike Rashid was saying that most important exercise was burpees. And all these fitness experts came in. Well, technically, burpees is not the most important exercise. Technically, if you do it incorrectly, you can tear cartilage. Shut up and do the burpee. How about that? Because if we posted you and you said it, now it's no problem. It's only a problem because you didn't say it. It's only a problem because you're not on the show. It's only a problem because you're not on the platform. It's only a problem because you're not at InvestFest.
Let me lock you in.
No, it's just a fact.
You're speaking some real things.
If you were featured saying this, if you were highlighted, then everything is correct. As soon as somebody else, you try to nitpick and find every flaw possible and go to the Harvard review data on it in 1974, where one person had a complaint about it. Like, yo, stop, man. Stop. Is it okay? Let's say burpees is the number two most important exercise. Is that going to change the world? Is that something that's harmful? Is that something that is not beneficial to, like, okay, well, burpees, like, You're acting like this is something that is actually going to poison the whole entire world and cause the destruction of America. But once again, everybody's an expert on social media. So since everybody's an expert on social media and everybody always complains about, oh, this person got a bad deal and Robert Smith sold his company for $4 billion, what is it really worth? Well, what are you really worth? Because you're working all day for free for a company that is the 10th richest company in the history of the world, and you haven't gotten a dollar. And you've never complained. You never criticized. You never wrote in a letter.
Never been to the fucking office.
Don't even own a stock.
Come on, man.
Think about it. I digress.